The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Support the show, contribute to our wrestling fund, which is gonna be expended a little bit when Willie Dills comes on out here to see the G1 special in only a few weeks. But also, you get access to our Discord. Still the reigning, defending, undefeated champion when it comes to watching wrestling live on the internet. This is the only place you need to go. Go ahead and do it. Get access. Patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number, 1-900 Wrestling!
Oh, hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 1-900 Wrestling Program. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, and boy, howdy, is he fresh off the links, fresh out of that Texas sun. How hot did it get out there today?
Actually, okay. Yes, I golfed. So my plan was get out at 11.
Yeah.
4-hour round.
Yeah.
20-minute drive.
Yeah.
Just in time for 1-900 Wrestling. Well, here's what happened. 10 a.m. tee time. A million weird old ladies out on the course today. It was like an old lady convention. So it took 6 hours to play my round. I did shoot an 80. It was 100 degrees, and I want to talk wrestling.
Well, this is the place to be, Willie, because that's exactly what we talk about right here. We got a couple ideas. This is going to be a little off kilter. I think that there were good episodes of SmackDown. There were good episodes of Raw this week. They were
fine.
Stuff
happened. Oh, you know what I did do, though? Wait, before we go on.
Go.
I did watch the Hardys special. Oh, my
God.
Oh,
my God.
Here's immediate takeaway.
Yeah.
I want to watch it again and again and again. It's actually such a good, entertaining piece of, like, it was like 2 hours long or something, right? I mean, it was really long.
It was like feature length. And at the point that you realize that
it was like a movie. I was into it.
At the point that you realize that they're going there on a level that wrestling, that WWE produced wrestling docs almost never go, I feel like I do need to rewatch it as well, because there's like there's so much where it's like, oh wow, like I really want to rewatch those old cell phone videos of them getting like backwoods
this is the
drunk
Infinity
and like
War of Wrestling. This is like watching like a movie happen. I was so involved throughout the entire thing. And look, like I could watch, you know, WrestleMania. Okay, by the way, first of all, wait.
All right.
No, hold on.
Back it on up.
Going
like
a different
truck
direction than where I need to go, which is.
Okay.
The apex of the movie is a moment we participated in.
Indeed. We were there.
That, I don't know if you did, but I cried.
I felt tremendous.
I actually, a tear came out of my eye when they first addressed them coming out at WrestleMania and how tight-lipped it all was and the whole thing, right? But the fact that we were at ROH the night before.
And they mentioned that.
And then we're there the next night, and me and you were sitting that close and didn't know if they were going to come out.
And by the way, we came fairly close to going to their barbecue event that they had before WrestleMania. And
if we weren't for that, a Hardee's weekend,
we almost would have tracked through their entire weekend, this monumental weekend that caps off
minus
the documentary.
Them being ushered in super secretly to WrestleMania, which was also so cool to watch, knowing that we kind of knew it was maybe happening, but not really. Like, do you remember that moment when they came out? Like, I turned to you, Justin. I was like, I think it's going to happen. And you were like, I don't know, man.
Well,
like,
the crowd started doing the delete chant. Like, as soon as it was like, wait a minute. Because I remember I was in L.A. for some reason the week before WrestleMania. But I remember doing this show with you.
Yeah.
And if I were smarter and better, I would have pulled this clip that I had mentioned. All right, well, they made it a ladder match. At that point, there were rumors that the Hardys were WWE bound at some point, but they had thrown some dirt on that trail.
By the way, watching this documentary, it was 6 months in the making, right? Like,
which about corresponds to where that timeline was.
Sure.
But also,
but like, you remember the whole section where Jeff is talking about how he's trying to throw off the scent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they were actively trying not to make us think.
Well, yeah, everybody, if I remember
correctly.
In a
ladder match in ROH the night before.
And that was
the
thing.
Young Bucks is a great way to throw off the scent.
Well, because specifically if you assume that they're going to debut at Raw the next day.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But they had made that match a ladder match, and there wasn't much of a reason to make it a ladder match. And I remember mentioning that possibility the week before. But, I mean, God, that moment in that arena after we were an hour away watching them in Lakeland just tear the fucking house down.
Destroy the environment, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just say, like, this is one of the things that being a wrestling fan is all about, is being like, I was there.
Yes.
Like,
it is
a
live
huge
event.
Thing about being a wrestling fan, it's being a sports fan, any sport, any whatever. I was there when the 49ers came back against the New York Giants down 49-6.
Oh, really? Were you?
And Steve Young. Yeah, I was at that game. Yeah.
That was a great game. I remember
and
watching
Steve
that.
Steve Young ran the touchdown in and got the tie and everything. Yeah. We won the game.
Was it Steve Young or Jeff Garcia?
It was Steve Young.
Are you sure?
No, this was the post Joe Montana era where we were still.
I know it was post Joe Montana, but I think it might be Jeff Garcia.
No, Steve Young. Look it up. Look it up. Somebody in chat, look it up.
Mitsula, look it up. Yeah, look it up. Tell me if it was Jeff Garcia. I got a feeling it might be Jeff Garcia, but you were there. You were there.
Steve Young, the Giants. They were down 49-6. I remember this. I was so drunk. Wait, what?
Soulspur says
Garcia,
I'm right.
And it wasn't 49-6? Oh, no. Am I the worst?
Yeah. I'm almost positive that it was Jeff Garcia. I feel like that was that moment where Jeff Garcia, who was a fairly
No, we're thinking about different games. There was a Jeff Garcia game, too.
There was the biggest comeback in playoff history.
There was a Steve Young
against the Giants.
There was a Steve Young game though.
There was a big Steve
Young game. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well,
all right.
Chad will sort it out.
Chad.
While we move on.
All right. How about this,
dude? Hold on. There was a Steve Young game.
All right, let's corral it. Let's corral this bull and let's ride in one direction.
There's a couple things that I want to do with today's show.
Go.
I have some ideas.
Yes.
So I was golfing all day.
Yes.
And sometimes when you golf all day, you start thinking about stuff and, you know,
yeah,
life really comes into focus.
Gotcha.
Are you a golfer?
No, I'm not.
You should try it. I think
you want to know what? I've never come closer to being a golfer than I did a few weeks ago when I hung out with you and your mediocre golf association buddies at a fun bar.
See?
And now, everybody, like, I immediately got golf.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, why don't we do exactly what this is, which is like a bunch of dudes of a certain age hanging out, but we do it earlier in the day. And we have an excuse to get as drunk as we want.
Well, and
because we're being athletic
in a manicured outdoor environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Feels nice.
I've never grokked it in more fullness than I did that night.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
It just brings people together.
Yeah.
So anyway, as I was golfing, I was thinking about this show, and I was thinking, man, there's like things I want to do on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things I want, like, okay, so one idea I had before you had an unfortunate back situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I wanted us to, you know, actually go out and do what a wrestler does before they have a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manscape, with, tan. Yeah.
Manscape, do
hit
the whole
the gym,
thing,
quick, right? Quick pump.
Yeah. Take some bumps, get ready, like work out what's our match gonna be like. The whole thing.
Yeah.
You know. Then you got a back injury.
But now I'm healthy again. I'm back in the gym.
Okay.
So I feel like now we can do it.
So you're like, yeah, you're like.
Now I'm back. I'm like Daniel Bryan. Right. I'm back to active competition. I've been cleared.
So AKA Daniel Bryan, you can actually do this again. All right, cool. Well, but between that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what other wrestlers could do in their day to day.
Sure.
Sure.
I've been watching a lot of a show called Queer Eye.
Ah, yes. The rebooted Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah, rebooted Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. It's no longer always for the straight guy.
No, now everybody can benefit from the gaze of the Queer Eye.
Beautiful twist. It's like five fabulous gay men can actually help not only straight men.
Anybody.
But anybody.
With enough gay men, you can cure the world.
Absolutely. That's what I've always said. But I think we can apply this strategy to a lot more things. I think it's really weird that we've only applied it as gay men fixing straight men.
Sure.
Like, why are we not saying like, hey, you know, basketball eye for the baseball guy. Like, why are we not LeBron James to come in and tell Barry Bonds what he's doing wrong?
Here's the question is that the premise of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, as I understand it, and I have not seen the rebooted Netflix series.
But it's so 50-50, right? It's like Queer Eye, Straight Guy. Like, you get, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. But just to set up, I mean, the idea is that, all right, there's a lot of straight guys. And the original.
There's a lot of straight guys.
There's a lot of straight guys. And it's about time someone paid attention to them.
Yeah.
Everybody, this is kind of pre or during the like manscaping idea that people were like, and this was really just like a societal wink and a nod that it's like, hey, straight guys, you're not gay if you wipe your ass in the shower, right? Or like,
well,
hey, you should.
I've heard it is gay, so I don't ever wipe my ass. Because one time when I was five, a guy told me it was gay if anything went into my ass.
Anything grazed your butt cheeks.
Yeah. No, that is the premise, right? It's like,
yeah. Well, it's like
gay,
hey,
guys,
here's a
guys,
way, yeah.
Hey,
here are basic
it's okay
rules
to do stuff.
Yeah, here are the basic rules of fashion, right? Like,
sure,
the thing should fit in a certain way and patterns mean something and you shouldn't color uncoordinate. Just things that like if you went on Wikipedia and saw like basic rules of fashion, now let's codify it with this cultural exchange that is helpful in our daily life by making the gay guys these like elves from a foreign land that are going to civilize the straights, right?
Now, here's the thing that I take away from this show.
Yeah.
Why does it only... there's no reason that the only way we should go is gay to straight.
Sure.
We can do this with anything.
Why is that the only trade wind? Right?
Yeah.
Why can't we go east to west too?
Yeah. Waiter eye for the bartender guy. We can do it with anything.
Anything.
Right? Like, you could take it from anywhere to anywhere.
Now there
does CEO guy
for the worker
to the
guy.
Works in the office.
That's
guy.
Undercover
I,
boss.
Yeah, okay.
That's undercover
sorry,
boss.
I lost
You've
it.
Actually
I know.
No. You actually figured out the premise of undercover boss. That's literally what undercover boss
is.
Yeah.
Now, pleb guy to the CEO guy. Right? Like, okay. So the idea here is that, you know, a wrestler doesn't need to come to my house or your house.
No.
To get made over.
No.
They're probably doing pretty good.
I mean, they probably think about their look a lot more than we think about ours.
We think about their look, yeah. But imagine if a magical world, Justin.
Okay. Okay.
Where me and you.
Yeah.
Where me and you work for Netflix.
Okay. All right. I can imagine it.
And they send us wrestlers. Yeah.
Now the thing about Queer Eye
now, and
is that there is an assumed expertise. They are like the Avengers,
sure.
Right? They all come with their special superpower.
Really good at like manscaping and shit.
And
right?
One guy's really good at suggesting everybody eats carrots. Like
sure, yeah. You always got that guy, the carrot guy.
There's the carrot guy. It's like, have you considered eating carrots?
There's the other guy who's also like, have you thought about putting a plant in the corner? Like,
yeah.
And then he's the design guy. Sure. Yeah.
What are our expertise? That's the key here.
Okay. Oh no, this is good. This is good. Yeah. Yeah. We should definitely have expertise. I would say. So can I say what you are?
Yeah, no, this is good. This is a good thing. You say what I am, and then I'll say what you are.
All right. So Justin is the expert on minutia as far as where the wrestler's from.
Character building. I can help flesh building. Out a backstory. So I'm a writer, and I can
Justin's on the writing squad.
Yeah.
Justin's also on the entrance squad. Give us a song and a pyro.
No, see, look, this is actually where I think we wind up working together, because that leads me exactly into your superpower. You are a musician that's been on tour. You've been on stage.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
You have not only experience what it's like to see front men, both men and women. You've been in bands with female and male lead singers.
Yeah, I've had a front woman in front of me.
Yeah. You've been in the industry for a very long time. So in terms of body language, confidence, rock star appeal, I feel like that's it. And now our combined element is we both craft the entrance. My backstory, if I'm going to go to somebody. And in fact, I'll tell you what. You actually had a couple names. We could maybe even test run this.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So first of all, we're gonna podcast a couple of professional current wrestlers.
Like, yeah.
These are guys who are out there, right? So I want to start with Big Damo.
Okay.
All right.
Big Damo.
Big Damo, who is not Big Damo.
He is now Killian Dane on
Killian
SmackDown.
Dane in NXT, but is now in some weird limbo land between NXT and WWE.
No. They come on, Willie. We need to protect our phony baloney jobs here. I know that every once in a while we don't watch the product, but they did debut on SmackDown last week.
Yes. But it's still very weird. Like, I did watch it. Like, it was...
Yeah.
It didn't feel to me like Big Damo is NXT champion or WWE champion.
No.
I don't know.
He's not.
This worries me.
Big Damo,
I love him. I love him. I love him. We need to podcast. We need to fab pop.
Let's
podcast.
Fab it up. Let's fab it up, dog. All right. So here we go.
Because this guy is great.
Do we want to imagine that he is still Big Damo, the independent wrestler, or are we talking to Killian Dane?
Let's imagine he's Big Damo,
the indie
guy.
And
then he suddenly became NXT.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, we're walking in on that, right?
All right.
So, you know the beginning of every of every Queer Eye episode, like, you all come in and you're like, hey,
yeah, what's up? Yeah. Sure. All right. Do you want to do that?
Saying,
do you want to
hey,
go,
hey, what's up,
Big Damo?
Yeah.
Big Damo.
Hey,
hey.
Big Damo. All right. Now, what do we tell him right off the bat? What does Big Damo need to do right now?
Well, first and foremost, we want to reestablish what makes him special. That we are not trying to tear down anything.
Yeah.
What we want to do is build around.
I don't want to shave him.
We want to build around what is beautiful about him. And what is beautiful about Big Damo is A, he is indeed big.
He's a Big Damo.
He is a realistically imposing and realistically shaped big man, which you very rarely. See, like, they're making a renaissance, a comeback, the, like, person who looks like just a big, gigantic person who wrestles.
He's a giant man.
Giant man.
Things giant men aren't supposed to do.
And there we go. The athleticism. Right? Yeah.
All right.
Now.
How do we shape that into something that is on Ellen?
So I'm more of, I feel like Big Damo's energy is.
Let's definitely talk about his energy.
His energy is very classic. So I don't think that we need to go very literal. Like early 80s WWF would be like, all right, well, he's the trash man, or he's an earthquake.
Sure.
Or he's a natural disaster or something like that, right? Schlocky WCW would make him the Shockmaster. Like, I feel like...
Can we put a weird mask on him and have him fall over stupidly and be dumb? Yeah, no.
I feel like he just needs to be... I feel like he's the guy in a bar. Like, he is your friend, or if he has the wrong string of luck, he's going to be the guy who settles the score. Nobody starts stuffing because he's going to finish it. So I feel like if you want to give him character, who is this guy and why did he decide to get into professional wrestling? I think the question has to be about motivation. Is he there to put food on his family's table? Is he there to find glory? Is he there because he doesn't like the fact that all these armpit shaving bodybuilders are doing what he knows he can do? Like, if they talk shit in the bar, he'll slap them down. And he's more athletic than him anyway, and he can still have a few pints. Like, is it working man? I feel like he is a working man's hero.
Okay. I'm with you. I'll tell you this, though. You know what? Actually, no, dude, there's nothing to argue with against what you just said.
So then you have to.
You just might have made the perfect argument for a perfect man.
All right. But now here comes your side. How does the working man's hero take himself to the ring? How does our version of Big Damo, how does he exhibit himself? If he were the lead singer of a band that were portraying that, how would he act? Give me a lead singer that would like.
So you know when the Queer Eye guys show up, there's a guy who talks about grooming and stuff.
Yeah.
There's another guy who talks about culture. There's a guy who talks about organization.
Yeah.
Fashion, things like that. I think Big Damo's biggest problem is fashion.
Ah, all right.
Those trunks on a hairy ass dude.
Yeah, he kind of has that a little bit of that barbarian kind of like thing.
It's gross, man. Yeah. Like, okay. I think also while we're talking about it, let's talk about the knockout artist, right? Like, come on, man.
All right, well, here, no.
Stop putting on trunks.
Something for episode two. Something for episode two. We got to keep something for episode two. Let's focus on Big Damo. Let's focus on Big Damo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I should not.
All right, so give him a wardrobe. Give him, if we're taking off from my idea, I love
Damo. Big Damo should do pants.
What kind of pants? Jeans?
No, not jeans, but like
tights.
Like Bray Wyatt style crazy pants. You know what I'm saying?
So long pants. Yeah. Maybe a faux leather looking. Yeah.
That has some stuff going on. And then the tank top type top.
See, I'm with you totally. And if I can note on your way of going, I feel like that should be part of the presentation is as he's on his way out, he's taking off the tank top like it's a bar fight. Like it's like, but not in any kind of like Hulk Hogan, like, yeah! Like big theatrical thing. Like just like no, shit's about to get real. This is a real thing now. Big Damo's here. I'm wearing long pants and I'm ready to fight. And those are the two things on my list. And I just checked them both off. So who's ready to get a piece of this Damo fist? I feel like that might be the way to go. I feel like a little bit of working class hero, because then he's always going to wow. I think, like, that's the other thing about him, is that because he's so athletic, it's a benefit to undersell him in his both appearance and his introduction, right?
So, can I say something real quick?
Of course you can. It's a podcast and you're the only other person on it.
I almost didn't want to come back because listening to you riff on Big Damo.
All right.
It was one of my favorite things ever. I was taking a leak. It was not that far away. Clearly hear you. I was like, man, if I just never come back, this is going to be hilarious.
All right. Well, I don't know. I feel like I appreciated you coming back, for the record.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad to come back. All right. So hold on.
All right.
So we've done Big Damo.
Big Damo. Who's next?
You brought up some names that I think make a lot of sense.
Okay.
Let's podcast for the wrestler guy.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega.
This is hard because he is such a defined character. However, I think he is a character
right now considered. I don't think you can really argue it at this point. The greatest wrestler going right now. I guess the only argument is Okada, the guy he's wrestling, right? Like,
I think you have to mention AJ. Because AJ wrestles more than both of them.
This is also a beautiful argument about how arguing who's the best doesn't matter in a sport like this.
No.
Right? Like when you argue who's the best quarterback, that makes more sense than who's the best wrestler.
Well, but also I think quarterback does have a little bit of a analog to this, though, because you are only as good of a quarterback as you are in the system, right? Because you still have people now that are like,
but
hey,
like
look,
Montana is better than Marino.
Sure. But there are arguments of
how do you fight me?
If Dan Marino and Joe Montana had flipped and Marino was the quarterback with those receivers
of the 49ers,
that maybe that
he
would
have won
thing.
Five titles.
Yeah. And there's arguments that, hey, look, if you put Cam Newton on the Patriots and Tom Brady on the Carolina Panthers.
See, the Buck says no.
Well, because he's settled
five rings.
He's swinging from Brady's jock. Anyway.
So five rings. So Kevin Durant, better than LeBron. Rings, bitch.
Well, no, they have the same amount of rings.
Buster Posey, better than Barry Bonds.
Right now,
KD
and LeBron have the same number of rings right now. No.
Yeah.
LeBron has more. LeBron has three.
No, LeBron
has
two. LeBron has three.
He has three.
LeBron has three. Yeah. But also, how many losses does KD have?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Our NBA is not leaking into this.
This is a podcast where we talk to people about wrestling.
This is. Okay. So Kenny Omega. I would say that Kenny Omega's character is in flux. That he has, previous to him stepping up to heavyweight, was a comedy kind of wrestler. All right. Yeah, follow me here.
Podcaster guy, his wrestler. We're podcaster, his wrestling,
both of his appearance,
wrestler guy,
and his backstory.
Anything. I mean, just he's a wrestler guy. We're gonna
podcast now his ass.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that means do whatever you want.
No, yeah. But if we're sticking with the themes, because that way
talk
it's
talk shit about Kenny Omega.
Do you really just want to talk shit about Kenny Omega?
I mean, we could.
I don't know what there's to talk shit about, though. I mean, like...
He's the best, yeah.
I think now... Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, we can take a pause here, and I can ask you about some of his comments. You know, he's been a little mouthy since he got that IWGP champion.
I mean, we can talk about that.
You want to talk? Let's talk about it now. Let's take a little pause.
Yeah, all right.
For those of you who are unaware, when he got the strap, he made a few comments about... how
that is true.
Maybe some of the Japanese wrestlers, and he singled out Naito.
I think it's a work, dude.
Well, let me just set it up. We can get there. He says that the Japanese wrestlers are waiting around It's no coincidence that all the white guys have the straps right now, because he says that it's the foreigners that are putting in the work, that are doing all the dirty work, and they are bringing things to the front office instead of just waiting their turn. So do you believe, and he reiterated this in a conference call leading into the San Francisco show, do you believe that this is a setup possibly for a Wrestle Kingdom angle between Naito and Omega?
Are we back on?
We never left.
Okay. I'm not going to say my opinion, not on the record.
You're not on the on our podcast? I didn't ambush you with a mic, Dills.
Hey, Justin, is this going to the Supreme Court? Because I really need that to add.
I think this podcast is still out on the link somewhere. This is somewhere in that hot Austin sun with those blue hairs trailing you. We got stuck in the mud.
All right. So, Justin Robert Young, yes. You're asking me about.
Do you
Kenny
think this
Omega.
Is a work? Do you think Kenny Omega spitting all this shit is a work, or is he telling the truth? Is he shooting hard on Japanese talent and NJPW?
First of all, no. Kenny Omega knows everything he does when he does it. This man is a goddamn professional.
He is.
Yeah. So every time you think that Chris Jericho is, oh my God, I'm in between New Japan and WWE. Oh, he's like a, you know, he's like a Southern lady. Like,
oh no, I can't believe that I'm between.
What shall I do?
I am betwixt like, two suitors. What am I ever to do?
Oh my goodness. Oh. It's
Oh, what? I believe I'm catching the vapors.
What a flirtation.
All these gentlemen callers my
way.
So
here's the thing. Kenny Omega knows. Everybody wants him.
Everybody wants him. Yeah.
He could go anywhere at this point. He is seven-star Kenny.
So you think that this is him actually like pushing New Japan and saying, hey, look, if you don't like what I'm saying, suck a D. I can
Kenny
go anywhere
is
I
gonna
want.
Kenny's going to do, in the next 2 years, Kenny's going to do something that's going to blow our goddamn minds.
Like what?
And then he's going to WWE.
So you think that we should be looking
this
for
the
big
swan
blow
song
off.
Of Kenny.
And then you think he's off?
Yeah.
He's I don't know, man. He loves Japan.
No, but he's going to have a two-year... I mean, I'm not saying he's bouncing. He's going to have a two-year reign.
You think so?
Japan.
So not this Wrestle Kingdom, next Wrestle Kingdom. That's usually when the contracts end.
Three Wrestle Kingdoms. He's not even going to be in the main event. Three Wrestle Kingdoms. He's going to do two.
And then he'll
out. Be like halfway through. And then, And he's going to be like 35. And he's going to come to WWE. He's going to do a weird-ass angle about his curly hair.
What do you think the angle is going to be? How is it going to center?
All right, so hold on. So this is just a prediction. We haven't actually podcast-eyed him.
No. At a certain point, I made a mention about what he said, and you refused to answer the question.
All right. We're going to podcast eye him.
Okay, so this is what I was saying before. I think that his character is in flux. I think that he has had, to my mind, as an observer, three phases.
So, first of all, his promos, terrible. He's got a weird...
I like his promos.
Okay, fair enough. But I want him to get a little more...
What would you think
Hulk Hogan
is wrong?
A little more. I want to get a little more
about
a little
Kenny
more
Omega's promos.
Yeah, but Omega's always like, "Hey, and I'm doing this.
I'm doing
now.
A thing.
I don't
now.
Know. It's just
I have a weird growl.
I wanted to go. I wanted to go actual wrestler promo.
So give me an example that you have to lead by example.
All right. So this is Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's like, I'm definitely going to win tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. So all a little right? sing-songy, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, here's what I want him to do.
You go ahead.
I'm going to win tomorrow, bitch. Yeah. Eat my vitamins. Take my mother. Yeah.
Take right. my yeah. mother. So basically, it sounded that began as Braun Strowman, and it ended as a very
sure.
weird person
you see what I'm
whose catchphrase
want,
is take my eat my vitamins and take my mother.
Take my mother. Yeah. All right.
I feel like that's the that's gonna be the first 1-900 wrestling merch is take my mother.
Take my mother.
Eat my vitamins on the back. Like a WWE shirt with some random shit on the back that ensures that you only wear it with an overshirt flannel. Oh my god. This is fucking so good. Take my mother.
All right. So
you want him to be gruffer. You want him to be more straight ahead pro wrestling.
Yeah. Okay. So let's also you
want him to be a little bit more. Let me tell you something mean, Gene.
I think we should move on to another wrestler.
All right. Let's move on to another wrestling.
Yeah.
Who you got?
I can't get back. Okay. I'll get there. Oh man.
Do we have another all wrestler?
Right. Oh shit, yeah. Kevin Owens.
This one's hard because I wouldn't change a lot.
Podcast I Kevin Owens.
I wouldn't change a lot with Kevin Owens.
You know, okay. I wouldn't either. If we're trying to make him like sexier, then take away the belly.
No, I feel like you...
Take away the beard, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like, number one, Kevin Owens is the greatest because he lives in a modern era where he realizes that looking like your audience is an effective way to make money.
Sure.
And being a fat guy with a beard is definitely going to make you look like a vast majority of the wrestling audience.
Resonates with so many people.
I'm just saying, look who's buying tickets.
I mean, we love it. I can just say, from the fat guy who, you know,
the fat guy with
like
a beard demo
community, it's great.
I will say that there might be some kind of mythology that we can add because now he has such an effective character that I do think that there's like room for the summer of blank, like some 2-year run where it's like, now he's really pissed about something or he's really fired up about something else because he's had a fairly static character and it's great. So he's able to do it for, you know, since his ROH days where he's just surly, mean-spirited, self-centered, athletic wrestler guy, right?
Sure.
But he mentions his family, his real-life family. He has that reality kind of angle to it. I don't know. And I don't know whether it's like, you know, if you want to be sympathetic, then it's like maybe there's like a death in the family or maybe there's like some promise that he made to his father that he would be the WWE champion one day. And so now this is bringing out a whole new, you know, thing. Or if maybe this is like, hey, look, they're never going to give guys like us the shot. Because he runs the CM Punk thing. Like, I don't look like that guy. So how about me and a bunch of other misfits band together, and now we're running roughshod?
So, okay. Let me ask you this, though.
Go.
If you're telling Kevin Owens how to be better at being Kevin Owens, I think he's pop culture guy, right?
Yeah.
He's got that going.
Yeah.
Right? Interior design. I mean, we saw how he designed the best friend's house.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Love it.
So as far as it comes to food prep and everything, he seems pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking the only thing left is interior design.
What? I think you already mentioned.
Hygiene. Sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
Hygiene.
Okay.
Sorry. What should Kevin Owens do better?
Hygiene wise, if we're doing the Queer Eye categories.
Queer Eye, Kevin Owens on his hygiene.
You know, I feel like maybe.
He does blow some snot rockets, I've seen.
He's a snot rocket blower. Is it maybe not going like longer sleeves, maybe?
Oh, yeah. So maybe the here-to-here area isn't as attractive
it's
as
it's not quite. Yeah. And maybe it just gives him a little bit more of an, like, an activewear sort of look.
Sure. I'm with you. I think he does. He goes for the no sleeves with a man who should probably sleeve.
He doesn't. Yeah, because he doesn't exactly have the guns as it were. Right.
No.
But he's not
part of his. It's not part of his look. It's not part of his character. Yeah. He's fighting for his family, Justin.
He is. I don't think he'd want you to take his mother.
All
that
right,
would be the opposite.
Who do
maybe
you
he
think?
Would take your mother because he's such a good family man, and he could always use another mother because he's
right,
a good
so
boy.
Justin, who do you think we could podcast eye for?
I'll tell you what. I feel like we only really got room for like one more here, and I would say,
like, what guy needs a little room or a little work?
Tell you what. How about we go with one of your favorites? And it's been a while since you've been able to see him.
Okay.
But what if we went with now PWG regular Impact's own Sammy Guevara?
Whoa! Sammy Guevara. Yeah, okay. I could podcast eye him.
Now podcast eye him, because if you're not aware, Sammy Guevara is, I think he has a very natural shithead kind of aesthetic, but he's insanely talented, got tremendous athleticism.
He's a natural heel.
There's something about him that you can immediately latch on to. But I do feel like he is two or three Pokemon evolutions away from reaching his final form.
So here's the deal. He's also Mr. Wrestle Circus.
When there is a Wrestle Circus.
When Wrestle Circus exists, yes. He's also Mr. Money's Worth.
Yeah.
They call him sometimes. And now, apparently, he wants to call himself Mr. PWG.
He is a regular there these days.
Yeah.
They love him.
Doing it. Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say for him. First of all, let's fix them eyebrows, bro.
So you're saying brows are not on fleek?
Not on fleek. No. He's clearly shaving his body.
Yes.
He's doing the wrestler thing.
Yes. Right?
Let's go eyebrows.
All right.
Also, now we're going to talk about, I'm going to move into cuisine or whatever. I've watched his blogs.
Uh-huh.
He loves this Mexican place. I think you need to get an actual San Francisco burrito in his body.
Okay, so you just think he should eat things
eat
that
better.
You enjoy.
Yeah, eat
okay.
better.
Eat well. I mean, like, not eat better as in it's going to translate to his body, but just that
just,
if he thinks
just,
that
no,
he's eating
eat
a good burrito,
burrito, yeah,
that you need to eat a burrito that Willie Dills Gregory has deemed. A better
a very
burrito.
Very specific burrito.
Very specific. Gotcha.
Yes. And then on top of that, I think switch the pants.
Trunks.
Yeah,
pants.
Trunks are bad. High flyers do better with pants.
It is kind of a luchador. I think that's probably where it comes from, right? Is that like luchadors wear pants a lot?
All right, Justin, if you were going to be a wrestler, would you go trunks or pants?
I would probably go. You want to know what? I was thinking I would go pants because I think I still have my civilian mindset. But no bullshit. My wife brought back from VidCon.
You might want to just go trunks?
No, my wife brought back from VidCon.
Oh, and your sexual fantasies every night. You go trunks.
No, just listen. I'm trying. It'll be plenty gross. Just let me get the one sentence out.
My wife brought back from VidCon
Twitch rompers.
And
so we had a little photo shoot up by the lake.
You're wrestling, you'd be a romper wrestler?
No, I just realized that I'm very proud of my thighs. I don't have a lot of opportunity to show off my thighs, specifically out here in the Bay Area. So I feel like I would go either like short pants or I don't know whatever you would call like the boy short like size like trunks, or I would go full trunks. I feel very proud of my thighs.
Now, do you when I watch wrestling and I see a man come out in just a tiny pair of underwear?
Yeah.
I think, God damn, that's awesome.
Like just like that this is an expression of theatricality.
You know, just the fact that like a man could come out into a room of 6,000 people or something.
And they could all be eyeballing the junk, seeing if he's smuggling grapes.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Do you want to, like, let's actually have a thing where for whatever reason
can
in
we
public,
put on some,
we both put on wrestling trunks and yours say take my mother and mine says eat my vitamins and we'll be a tag team the next time.
All right. We'll have to do this when I come to San Francisco because
we'll have to go get trunks. I'll see if I can put a line out, see if I can pick up
I'm
some
trunks. I'm super
trunks.
Into this, by the way. I'm definitely down.
Do you think we'd be allowed in the Cow Palace if we came in wearing trunks? Or is that a no-no? Is it just you're wearing underwear?
If we explained it properly.
What would be the... We get stopped at the front by security.
You got to understand, this is part of a podcast. I don't know.
I'm sorry, sir. I know this is against your rules, but would it sway you to say that this is part of a podcast?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my podcast? Yeah.
Now, if you will, take my mother. All right. That about wraps it up for this episode of the show. Willie, what you got going on this week?
I'm going to play golf tomorrow.
Nice. Are you going to... Have you IRL'd a round of golf?
No, I need to. But I'm kind of done streaming and podcasting all the time. I'm just going to play golf a lot.
That's the new strategy.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have money at the end of it.
I mean, sure. I was gonna say I didn't want to push back on you and be like, you know, that your living is derived by podcasting and streaming, right?
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes.
All right. So, everybody, go trail Willie Dills at the golf course, I guess. All right, folks.
You can
find me twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Thank you to everybody that is listening, and of course all of our patrons at patreon.com/1900wrestling. Until next time.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling's latest news and views.
My name is Justin Robert Young. That's Willie Dills Gregory.
Nobody knows wrestling like me.
Until next week.
1900 wrestling.
Be dialing.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking. And his name is John Cena.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.